it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Pac-12 has not committed to a schedule format for December 19th. They're keeping flexibility there. Here to talk about that and other things, John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. Jimmy Lake was asked if Washington is not in the Pac-12 championship game, would he want to play in the Apple Cup? He says yes. What is the Pac-12 doing with that championship week, Wilner?
I think they're doing the smart thing, which is not committing to anything, given how fast things are changing and how many games are getting canceled or postponed. The fact that they're leaving themselves open-ended there the day after the championship game for the other five games to be played, I think that's the smart move, right? There was initially talk that they would do North versus South, you know, number two versus number two, three versus three, but they haven't gotten firm with that, and I think it's because they're seeing how many games are getting canceled, and they may want to end up having rivalry games made up or having, you know, intra-division games made up.
Would TV, in your mind, play a role in that? Let's just say, you know, USC's not in the title game or Oregon's not in the title game, and, you know, ESPN or Fox really wants Oregon and USC to play. Is that a crossover game that gets made because TV wants it, or is that a non-factor?
I think that is going to be a non-factor, and here's the big thing about that date. That we're talking, so the Pac-12 championship game is, as usual, on a Friday night, the 18th. So Saturday is left open for the other 10 teams in the Pac-12 to play, whoever's healthy, I should say. But here's the thing. That December 19th, that is the day of the SEC championship game, the ACC championship, Big 12, Big 10, Conference USA. I don't know if Army-Navy's that day. Probably not. But there's a ton of high-priority games. ESPN, ABC, Fox Broadcast, they're going to have, they've already got their games lined up, their primo games. And the Big Ten is also going to play games that day that don't involve the teams in the championship. So I think that there's a decent chance, actually, that all of the TV windows are going to be booked up and that some of those Pac-12 games could be on the Pac-12 network.
John Wilner with us. You had your Pac-12 stock report that you put out every week. There was a CDC element to this. How does quarantining affect the college football teams, and is this good or bad news?
I mean, this is huge news, I think, for college football and college basketball, right? Because we're seeing this at Washington State, Utah, a lot of schools. If you've got positive cases, even if it's only a handful, the contact tracing ends up with, you know, 6, 8, 10 players being put in quarantine. And those quarantines currently last 2 weeks. That's CDC recommended for a close contact. And you can't test your way out. So if, you know, Washington State's got a player right now in quarantine, he could test negative for 13 days in a row and still have to spend that 14th day in quarantine. This change, which is the Wall Street Journal reported it, would lower the quarantine window to 7 to 10 days, which means that if a Pac-12 team, let's say, had a positive test on a Monday or Tuesday and ended up having to put 10 guys in quarantine, instead of missing because of 14 days, that week's game and the next week's game, they'd only miss one. So we're talking about reducing the number of games missed to quarantine from 2 to 1, which is big because we've seen a lot of teams that have had to miss two games because of the 14-day period.
Wilner, the playoff...
And just think about college basketball. But, you know, same thing with college basketball. One positive test, they could end up contact tracing the entire team in a quarantine. Well, instead of 14 days, it could be just 7.
The playoff selection committee puts out the rankings. It's obvious what they think of the Pac-12. What were your takeaways immediately?
Well, I thought, you know, Oregon was... I would have probably guessed Oregon would be in the 12, give or take, maybe 14, maybe 11. 15 was a little low. I thought maybe Washington would get in there. I mean, I personally think that USC should be ahead of Oregon. I think SC has got has been more impressive overall and has got better wins. And I've got SC ranked ahead of Oregon in my AP poll. But the biggest problem that I see for the Pac-12, well, there's two. One is that there just aren't enough ranked teams for SC or Oregon to get any kind of rocket fuel for a big run up the standings. And the other issue is who's ahead of them, right? I mean, there's 4 SEC teams, 3 from the Big Ten, 3 from the ACC. There's 2 Big 12 teams with 2 losses that are ahead of Oregon and SC, plus BYU and Cincinnati. So, I mean, it is like 5% chance that the Pac-12 could get into this thing. What the Pac-12 needs is more disruption and the playoff to get pushed back into late January so more games can get played and the Pac-12 teams can get, you know, have a chance for more quality wins.
The Pac-12...
Well, what did you think of where Oregon was put?
Well, I don't think anybody should have been surprised. I heard, like, gasps, and I was like, what are we talking about here? I mean, it's clear that the committee has... There's no non-conference games that could change anybody's mind. And if I'm on that committee, I still am looking down at the Pac-12 just based on the last few years. You got to do something that's going to change my mind on the field, and there just hasn't been an opportunity. And frankly, let's be real. Oregon looked pretty pedestrian in beating Stanford, looked really shaky against UCLA. They've lost a lot. This is not a team that is ready to be a top four team. As much as everybody would like to see, all right, let's see where we are. I keep hearing that. You're not there. You're not in that conversation right now. So I think the upside for the Pac-12 right now is to get into the New Year's Six games and, you know, kind of set the stage maybe. Get into one of those games, beat another conference team that is respected, that is in one of those New Year's Day games, and set the stage for next year. And then try to prove it on the field, because that's where you change the committee's mind. On the field, not with slogans or brands or all that nonsense. But I don't know. That's how I feel. But what about
You're right. Yeah. And the way it's setting up is the Pac-12 champ, because, you know, maybe let's assume it's either SC or Oregon right now, or Washington, ends up going to the Fiesta Bowl. There's a pretty good chance they're going to play BYU. Well, that's a no-win situation for the Pac-12 there. They want to be playing, you know, Oklahoma, not BYU, and so it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out into the New Year's Six.
Pac-12 Network, you're talking about a rebirth. What do you mean by that?
I'm sorry, I missed you.
The rebirth of the Pac-12 Network. What is that about?
Well, just the fact that there's going to be actual sports, live sports on the Pac-12 Network starting today with... And I know this is a little bit of an assumption, but there are Pac-12 basketball games scheduled to tip off in like 4 hours, and we can maybe figure one of them will get played. You know how fast things are getting canceled. But Cal, Oregon State, I think it's 4 o'clock in Corvallis, non-conference game, maybe 5 o'clock. So the Pac-12 Network, actually for the first time since March 11th, is going to have sports, live sports. And that's, you know, that's a... The biggest component for that whole business model is having things on there for people to watch. And so it's kind of ramping back up. It's coming out of a coma. You know how you kind of medically induce coma and then you give them some kind of shot and people wake up? Well, that's what's happened to the Pac-12 Network.
Yeah, because they have had no football games. We still don't know if they will have games in that last week. They possibly could pick up some games there, given that the other networks are committed elsewhere.
Yep.
Let's look at this weekend's games. Washington and Washington State was canceled. That game is off. But Washington against Utah. I wanted to see that one because I want to know if Washington's any good. Will we find out if Washington's any good?
I think we'll get a better sense. You know, Utah should play better than Arizona did. It's at Husky Stadium, so it's third consecutive home game for Washington, third consecutive night game. You know, Utah, that SC game, it's hard to judge Utah, really, because they had not played at all, and SC had played twice. I think it'll be a good game. Utah-Washington has been one of the best series in the conference in terms of, you know, close games, right? There was a last time that you were in Husky Stadium, I think it was like 34-31 or something. So I think we'll get a pretty good idea. I mean, the Washington looked really good against Arizona. Some of that is, you know, two things are equally true. Huskies played well. Arizona's terrible. So we'll get a better feel, I think, this week. And then Washington's supposed to play Stanford next week before the Oregon game, right? Stanford hasn't looked that good either. So I think there's a real good chance the Huskies will be undefeated when they play the Ducks.
I've got UCLA in the 5 p.m. game. I'm working backwards here. 5 p.m. game against Arizona. UCLA wins that going away, right?
You would think so. I think Arizona's really teetering, right? They got a coach who's kind of on the hot seat. They just got blasted in Seattle. They're not very talented. UCLA looked pretty good, right? I mean, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, that was a game. Oregon, if you're a playoff caliber team and you're at home against a mediocre opponent that's got a backup quarterback, you should be beating them by 30. And UCLA played pretty well. It seems like Chip's, gosh, maybe he's on the brink of getting things turned around, but they should definitely win that game.
Colorado, USC. This game I really want to see. This is on Saturday at 12:30 on ABC. Colorado had a week off. Is Colorado for real?
I'm not sure they are, but I'm also somewhat skeptical the game's going to get played. SC's got a positive test. L.A. County is doing the contact tracing. We'll see what happens. At this point, I'd say that game is, you know, only 50-50, maybe 60-40 that it's going to get played. And if it doesn't get played, I think Colorado will end up with San Diego State. They'll just, because they're healthy. They're healthy. They couldn't play last week, and they may not be able to play this week. So they're going to play non-conference if they have to. But, boy, Colorado's defense kind of got lit up by Stanford and UCLA, and now they're playing against a much better offense. So I would think SC should be a clear favorite, assuming the game is played and that USC doesn't, like, lose its entire offensive or defensive line to quarantine.
I want to know what you think of Oregon State's chances against Oregon at Reser Stadium. 4:30 now is the kickoff on ESPN on Friday. What do you think of Oregon State's chances?
Well, I think that they are much better than they were a week ago, you know, just because of how the two teams played on Saturday. Yeah. But at the same time, sometimes you can get fooled by putting too much emphasis on the most recently played game, right? The recency bias. Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of going back and forth. If you had asked me at any point in the previous 10 months, I would have said Ducks are going to beat them good. And then one game changes your outlook, and I just don't know. I kind of go back and forth. I do think that the Beavers should be able to run the ball on them, though. Everybody's running the ball on the Ducks right now, which is, I'm more surprised at the play of Oregon's defense than I am Oregon's offense. Oregon's offense has played better than I thought, and the defense worse. Meanwhile, the Beavers, a little bit different. I thought their defense was going to be more, a little bit more advanced in their offense, and, you know, they're not playing very good defense either. So I would say, you know, play the over, whatever that line, that number is.
Yeah, I look at that, and the only problem I have with Oregon State is I think they'll run on Oregon, but they're going to need Tristan Jebbia to hurt Oregon down the field a couple of times. I think Beaver fans keep asking me, can Oregon State stay in this game? And I say, if Jebbia has two touchdown passes, you're in the game. That's what I'm telling people.
That's fair. That's very fair. The other thing is, you know, what kind of job is Oregon going to do? Well, both teams, taking care of the ball, right? We're seeing turnovers. We're seeing special teams, you know, big plays on special teams, right? Returns, block kicks, block punts. I would suspect that, you know, we could see a special teams play change that game one way or the other.
The big game, Stanford and Cal, 1:30 on Friday on Fox. Who do you like?
Well, at this point, I don't have any reason to think that the game won't get played. I have to think it's going to be close, low scoring, kind of like last year. Cal, to me, they've been disappointing, not really their fault, given their COVID issues for 2 weeks. Stanford, same thing, right? Their quarterback was held out because of a testing error. But, you know, this is certainly not a game that's going to be high on anybody's radar in terms of watchability. I would probably favor Cal, close game, but it could go in either way. The Bears haven't been enough on defense for me to think that they're going to win handily.
I think this is a really close game. I'll take Stanford just because you're taking Cal. How about that?
Sure. Sounds all good. Right. That's an under. If the Oregon State is take the over, I would say big game is take the under.
All right. So we do these rankings every week here in the state of Oregon of the teams, and Oregon is clinging to the one spot in the Pac-12 poll. I want to know from an objective outside-in viewpoint, who do you think the best team in the Pac-12 is right now?
I believe it's SC. I've got SC ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, to me, Arizona State's a better team than anybody Oregon's played. And winning it at Utah, I think. I'm just looking at the wins, right? And
right.
Stanford with not a very good team, didn't have its quarterback. Washington State, not very good. UCLA, not very good, didn't have its quarterback. And the Ducks are not, you know, they've had some good second halves. They've been terrific in the last 30 seconds of the first half. They are dynamite, right? They had that 60-yard two-play drive in Pullman for a touchdown, and then they had the pick six against UCLA. But I just, you know, I haven't been that impressed with the Ducks. And if I just kind of picture that game, SC against Oregon, and I think SC would, you know, they'd be able to move the ball, that's for sure. And their SC's defense is playing better than Oregon's defense. So that's why I got SC ranked a little bit ahead of them in my ballot at this point.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think in the state of Oregon here, they get put ahead, and in other places, probably not. John Wilner, I appreciate you. I want you to have a great Thanksgiving, my friend, and I will talk to you down the road. Keep doing what you do.
Thanks for having me. Have a good holiday, my friend.
All right. There is John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. I want you to leave it right here. We do our big splash every day in this segment. Today's no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the big splash.
Brought to you by the Exogen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Argentina's soccer legend, Diego Maradona, has died of a heart attack at the age of 60. This was one of the greatest players in the history of the game. Household name. World Cup glory 1986. Superstar player. One of the most skilled, impressive players in the history of soccer. Passes away at the age of 60. It's big news. A lot of people want to talk about it. We've had people calling in and holding. And George is in Portland, wants to talk about the passing of Diego Maradona. Go ahead, George.
Well, like you said, Argentinian superstar Diego Maradona died of a heart attack. The question is was he taking drugs at the time? He was an icon in Argentinian soccer. Then he fell into drugs after winning the World Cup. And he got controversial because he sought treatment in Cuba, which nobody was expecting. And the treatment that he got was nothing special, but he just sympathize with Fidel Castro and sympathize with Maduro. So one less communist.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, by the way, you're the guy who gave us Blazer slogans. You going to call back and give us a Blazer slogan in the coming weeks?
Well, we'll see when I'll think about it. I'm listening on that day. I'll give you a slogan.
Remember? I remember Nick Batumi, Blazer Eyes. Remember all that? Used to sing, call into the show. I know your voice.
Yeah.
I know your voice. I've been doing this too long when I can recognize the callers' voices. Coming up next, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach. I always love talking to him. We talk about football. We talk about some other things. Maybe we'll ask him what he's thankful for, because it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. I want you to leave it here. Jonathan Smith is next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.